The phrase defense industrial base is one that's thrown around these days without much consideration for what actually makes up the marketplace for goods and services the military buys on a daily basis. That's according to Brett Lambert, DOD's Deputy Assistant Secretary for Industrial Base Affairs. He says it implies that there's still a relatively monolithic block of defense companies that serve as the military supplier, an outdated notion in a globalized economy.
This is a trend the department has frankly been more willing to recognize in policy than in practice. I'd hazard a guess that 25 years ago, nearly 70% of the goods and services the department procured were developed and produced exclusively for the department. Today, I would suggest that the ratio has reversed, with roughly 70% of the goods and services now either produced for commercial consumption or originally developed with commercial applications in mind, as well as a largely commercial-based supply chain.
DOD's supply chain, Lambert says, is far more commercial and global than most people in the Pentagon realize, involving everything from multinational corporations to garage startups.
This is a very difficult concept for many in our business to get their arms around. Frankly, the department is much more comfortable being the dog, not the tail, of a market. This attitude, frankly, is not helpful when we discuss the various ways to understand or track our supply chain. Simply put, the old standby remedy to most supply chain concerns of mandate it simply won't work in the modern global and commercial environment. Yet we must adjust to deal with the new reality. And as I've stated before, despite our financial resources, we in the department build little. Our industrial base does, both military and commercial. And the department simply can't afford to dominate or prop up every important domestic industry upon which we rely all the way through the supply chain. It's simply not economically feasible or strategically desirable.
That doesn't mean the military can fulfill all of its procurement needs by buying commercial. Lambert says there are niche defense-specific capabilities in U.S. firms, often many levels down the supply chain, that are so vital that the Pentagon can't do without them. But buying more commercial goods will free up dollars to support those must-have capabilities. And Lambert says recognizing the realities of a globalized marketplace has pluses and minuses. On the one hand, DOD can expect to keep up with the pace of technology, interoperate with other nations' militaries, and save money in the process. On the other hand,
the threat of counterfeit or inferior parts entering the supply chain, the potential for undue reliance on components whose origin or actual configuration may not be fully understood, as well as the risk of leaked intellectual property to foreign businesses and governments.
One of the government's answers to electronic supply chain risk has been to establish the Trusted Foundry Program. In that construct, vendors are certified by DOD and the National Security Agency as having a secure manufacturing process that's entirely constrained to the borders of the United States. Lambert says that is one solution, but only in a relative handful of cases.
The issue we find ourselves in, particularly in government, is we try to find very bumper sticker-like solutions to very complex problems. And so there is a tendency to gravitate toward a solution that is easily understood by not just the customer, but by the legislators who would have to pass it and the contract officers would have to impose it. That leads you then to building fences around things because that's the easy solution. You can do that, and in some cases that is a necessary approach. My references to Trusted Foundries is they are a very good solution for some things, but it's a very narrow, very specific set of challenges for very unique products that the government faces. It's a very expensive solution. You could pursue it for a wider range of things. You would find yourself probably several billions of dollars later in several years down the road being able to manufacture a perfect 886 chip.
Lambert says DOD will need to think about securing its supply chain in tiers. Absolutely mission-critical, military-specific products might get produced in secure foundries. Others might rely on commercial best practices for securing the supply chain. Melissa Hathaway, the president of Hathaway Global Strategies and the former White House cybersecurity advisor, agrees. Many of the technologies DOD wants to leverage in the coming years simply can't be produced in a walled-off environment.
Any one of these tablets or computers or smartphones that you have is likely has touched more than 40 countries along the way. Is it really possible to talk about an indigenous build and indigenous manufacturing then, and as we're managing the risk?
The government, to be sure, needs to think carefully about securing its supply chain, Hathaway says, but it can mitigate much of the risk just by buying from reputable commercial firms, who also have plenty of money and reputation at stake if they fail to secure their own supply networks.
We need to think about secure distribution channels, but again, it's distribution of all of those multiple components coming into another component that's going to then go to market. And when we think about that distribution channel and that procurement channel, we need to give the vendors credit that they actually have vetted their suppliers and those distribution channels, because they don't want a counterfeit product getting to market. And so we need to use their trusted channel partners, their value-added resellers, and or buy off of the vetted tables of GSA.
It's difficult to become a supplier to a high brand name because they don't want to have their brand integrity challenged or their product challenged, and they're trying to deliver the best product to market at the best price point possible to get more market share and more global dominance. And when we talk about trusted supplier to the government, that's one set of vetting, and then there's trusted suppliers to the suppliers, and that's another set of vetting, and those two processes are both very important.
Lambert says DoD will rely heavily on commercial security standards and adopt industry's best practices to secure its own supply chain wherever it makes sense. He says even though the department relies heavily on commercial technology, a trend that will only increase in the coming years, there are still too many regulatory and compliance barriers for commercial companies to sell directly to DoD.
And I recognize that top managers of commercial companies are often put off, particularly in the telecommunications market, by the political and government-induced complexities of working with the department as both a regulator and a buyer. Believe me, this occupies a lot of my time. I try to remind these executives in, again, primarily telecommunications companies, that while Uncle Sam may not be your favorite uncle, he is by far the single richest one you will ever know, even in these trying fiscal times.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.